Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors. If you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word, we also offer in-home Bible studies. If you would be interested in studying from the inspired Word of God to learn more about Him and about His will for us, we would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org. And the number is 217-218-0803. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is the first passage we will look at in our program this morning. In the lead up to this chapter, the inspired Apostle Paul spoke about some sufferings that he faced because of his choice to submit to Christ. And he went on to speak about what anchored him and led him to be steadfast in his service to Christ in spite of the sufferings that he faced. And I want to notice something he said in the context of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7. And I'll be reading from the World English Bible translation this morning, unless otherwise stated. It says, therefore, we walk by faith, not by sight. I want to consider some things about this phrase here this morning. We walk by faith, not by sight. As we look to what Scripture teaches about walking by faith, we can come to understand that this is something that will be true of each of us if we are living lives that are pleasing to God and living lives that will lead us to be able to spend eternity in heaven with God. And so to better understand this phrase, we walk by faith, not by sight, I'm going to seek to answer four questions pertaining to this faith here this morning. We'll consider, first of all, what is this faith that we are to walk by? Secondly, what produces this faith? Where does it come from? Thirdly, what must this faith produce? And then fourthly, what does this faith assure? If you look over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we have a verse there that helps us to answer the first of these questions about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, notice what is said in verse 1 of this chapter as we consider what is this faith that the Apostle Paul said he walked by. Hebrews 11 and in verse 1 says, "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, proof of things not seen." We'll come back to the first part of that a little bit later in the lesson. Faith is assurance of things hoped for. But I want to consider this phrase, proof of things not seen. The American Standard Version says a conviction of things not seen. Upon first hearing that definition of faith, we might wonder, what is the basis for such a thing? How can we be convicted of things not seen? This is certainly what was true of the Apostle Paul as he walked by faith. He was convicted of who God is. He was convicted that Jesus was and is His Son. He was convicted of the truths of the Holy Spirit. He was convicted of what God says happens after our time on earth is over. He was convicted of all of these truths from God. And we might ask the question, how can we share that conviction? How can we likewise be convicted of who God is and what His will is for us? And I believe the answer to this is given in Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans, the 10th chapter, notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 17 of that chapter. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We can know that God is the creator of this world. We can know and be convicted that Jesus is His Son. We can be convicted that Christ is going to return to judge the world. We can be convicted of what we need to do to be ready for that judgment day. We can be convicted of these things because we can hear the Word of God. We can read it as we read the Bible. We can listen to it taught and read. And as we do so, we are hearing the very message that builds faith. And so as we think about what faith is, we want to recognize that it involves a conviction of things not seen. But as we think about where faith comes from, we want to recognize that this conviction is not baseless. Rather, it is based upon hearing the Word of God. For instance, if you turn over to John the 20th chapter, notice something, if you will, that is said by the Apostle John here in John the 20th chapter. I'm going to read the last two verses of this chapter, verses 30 and 31 of John chapter 20. There the inspired writer says, "Therefore Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." As we stop and think about what John was saying here in these two verses, he had given a number of facts about Jesus, His teachings, His miracles, His works. He spoke about the crucifixion of Jesus. He spoke about the burial of Jesus. He spoke about the resurrection of Jesus and some things that Jesus said to his disciples following his resurrection. The Apostle John had given a number of truths about Jesus in this book. But he realized that there's a whole lot more that Jesus did during his time here on earth. John did not write every single detail about Jesus' life here on earth. But what is written is enough to convince us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and it's enough to lead us to have life in His name. Notice something related to this that is said over in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, notice what is said in verses 16 through 18 of this chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Therefore, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' We heard this voice come out of heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." As we stop and think about what the Apostle Peter says here in these three verses, it points out we're not passing on to you some myths or fables about Jesus Christ. Individuals who are convicted that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, are not just convicted based upon some stories that have been passed down that originated in the minds of men. Rather, that conviction is based upon the truths that have been revealed for us that prove He is the Son of God. Notice some proofs that Peter gives here in this particular passage. He mentions the voice that came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Peter says, "We heard." It says, "I was there," Peter says. John was there with Jesus. He witnessed the things that Jesus said and did. These are two among many eyewitnesses who saw Jesus, His miracles He performed. They saw the good things that He did as He was here on earth. They heard His teachings. They saw Him after He died and was buried and was raised from the dead. These are individuals who witnessed these things, and now they've recorded these things for us in what we have today known as the Bible. And so as we think about the faith that we are to walk by, it is not something that's a baseless faith. Rather, it is a faith that is grounded in the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, we can learn about Jesus, His death, His burial, His resurrection. And not only can we learn about Him, but we can learn about God the Father. We can learn about God the Spirit. We can learn all about who God is and what His will is for us by looking to the inspired Word of God. This is the basis for the faith that we are to walk by. And so what happens when good and honest hearts are brought into contact with that perfect seed, which is the Word of God? Jesus teaches in Luke the 8th chapter and verse 15 that such individuals will produce fruit with patience, meaning such individuals will be led to trust God and obey Him in their lives. And that leads us into our next point as we consider what faith must produce. Faith is something that involves a trust and belief in God, but it's something that must produce obedience to Him. Walking by faith is not only about believing God, but it's also about obeying Him in the things that we do. Notice what is said over in James, the second chapter. In James, the second chapter, I'll first read verses 14 through 17. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Says there, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him? And if a brother or sister is naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you tells them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you didn't give them the things the body needs, what good is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead in itself." Notice what is said here in these verses, as the inspired writer first asks two rhetorical questions in verse 14. He asks, what good is it if a man says he has faith but doesn't have works? And secondly, he asks, can faith save him? And the implied answers to those questions are, number one, it doesn't do any good. And number two, that faith alone is not going to save that man. And he goes on to give an illustration to help us understand this point in verses 15 and 16, when he gives the example of someone who is destitute and in need, and a person says to him or her, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," yet doesn't give them what they need to be warmed and filled. He asks the question there, what good is it? And then uses that illustration to make the point in verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead in itself. And so the inspired writer speaks here in this passage about the emptiness of faith if it is not accompanied by works. He goes on to say down in verse 24, "You see then that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith," using the examples of Abraham and Rahab to make that point. And so we see from James, the second chapter, the second half of the chapter specifically, that faith alone is not going to save anyone. Faith must be accompanied by works. And as we get back to this topic of walking by faith, we can understand then that walking by faith is not just trusting God, although that's involved, but it's trusting God and obeying Him. Walking by faith involves living a lifestyle of obedience to God and to what He commands of us in the New Testament. That's what we'll be led to do if we are walking by faith and not by sight. And so as we think about walking by faith, we want to recognize that, first of all, that involves being convicted of things not seen. But secondly, it means allowing the Word of God to get into our hearts and guide us and direct us, as that is the basis for our faith. And then thirdly, it involves trusting God, and not only trusting Him, but obeying what He commands of us. But our fourth question that we want to consider as we seek to better understand what it means to walk by faith is what this faith assures. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, when we read there earlier the definition of faith, it mentioned in the first part of that verse, faith is assurance of things hoped for. And as we think about that phrase, assurance of things hoped for, that involves being certain of the reality of heaven and the reality of our need to be obedient to God in order to spend eternity in heaven with Him. And if we are walking by faith, if we are trusting God and obeying Him, then we can have assurance of a home in heaven. And that assurance comes from the faith that we have in God. Notice a passage that illustrates this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll first read verses 3 through 8 of this chapter as the Apostle Paul speaks about the resurrection throughout this chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 3. Says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to over 500 brothers at once, most of whom remain until now, but some have also fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the child born at the wrong time, He appeared to me also." As we stop and think about what the Apostle Paul starts off saying here in these verses, he provides proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He mentions in verses 3 and 4 that he has been preaching to them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he then gets into the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' resurrection, individuals who saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead, in verses 5 through 8. And so he's providing the evidence here that these individuals' faith is grounded upon. Notice down in verse 11, he says, "Whether then it is I or they," speaking of the other apostles, "whether then it is I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." And so the Apostle Paul here illustrates this principle that we looked at earlier, how faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. These individuals heard the truth of God proclaimed. They heard the message that produces faith, and it led them to believe. We likewise can look to these evidences provided in Scripture of who Jesus is. We can look to the eyewitness accounts of His resurrection, and we can be assured of the fact that He died for our sins, and He was buried, and He was raised the third day, and we likewise can be led to believe. And then notice, as the Apostle Paul progresses further on this point, if you skip on down to verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead. He became the first fruits of those who are asleep." And he explains in this chapter what's meant by that. His point is that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we likewise are going to be raised. And if we are faithful to the Lord during our time here on earth, that resurrection is going to involve being allowed to enter heaven to spend eternity with God. And so this chapter helps us to see, first of all, how faith comes by hearing the truth of God. But then secondly, how that faith in God and in Christ then leads us to be assured of our hope of being resurrected, our hope of spending eternity in heaven with God at the time that Christ returns to judge the world. And so upon making this point, the Apostle Paul finishes the chapter by saying in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He points out here in this verse that because we know that we are going to be raised just as Christ was raised, we can be anchored as we're submitting our lives to Christ by that hope. And that is what Paul was speaking of back in 2 Corinthians 5:7, when he said, "We walk by faith, not by sight." He was trusting God and obeying Him. He was convicted of things not seen. And because of this, he was certain that he had a home in heaven with God awaiting him after Christ returns to judge the world. And we can have that same hope if we have the faith that we must have. There's a lot of other passages in Scripture that deal with faith, but this lesson here this morning has been designed to help us get a basic understanding of what's involved in walking by faith, as we think about what this faith is, where it comes from, what it must produce, and what it assures. If you have any questions about anything that was stated this morning, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can reach us at 217-218-0803. Our website is allnechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.